Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Station. It's the man that has a nickname and was allowed to say with no shame. Thursday, May 13th, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. I hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Segaline here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. Got a lot of sports to try and catch up on today. Might have a slight concussion after getting rear-ended on the way home, but don't worry, I'm okay. My car is okay, thankfully. I was more worried about my car than myself. I think myself is a little bit more banged up than my car. Probably have a slight concussion, but the plan was to come on and catch up on the sports world solo. Thursday is normally my day to get off from work slightly early, always being there for my ladies' nine-hole league in the morning. So trying to catch up on some sports today. Had a good conversation with Rich on Tuesday, but mainly NBA, so I do have some NBA to touch on. Obviously, with it being the last week of the regular season and the play-in tournament, first ever play-in tournament in the NBA, coming up on the 18th with the playoffs projected to start just a few days after that. Obviously, a lot to get into with clinching standings and everything happening the last week of the NBA season that was compacted and obviously different, 72 games. Obviously, a lot to do with the playoffs coming up. And right smack dab in the middle of that, the NFL releases its schedule. Not a coincidence, in my opinion. MLB games going on, hockey playoffs coming up, golf stories, fight news, horses on steroids. There's a lot to catch up on in the world of sports. And I'm going to try do a little bit of that today, even though I'm a little out of it. But really want to get into some of the sports talk. Got my Russ jersey, who's been absolutely flaming, even though they took a tough loss again. Very close games they've been playing last night, even though they lose a game last night. Russ, another incredible performance, carrying the team without Bradley Beal. I do think the Wiz make the play-in tournament and come out of the play-in tournament taking the 8th seed, because they are the 10th seed right now, but it is phenomenal to see them back in the 10th spot after being 17-32 on April 5th. Currently now 3 or 4 games under 500. Russell Westbrook obviously making history, passing the Big O this week in career triple-doubles, 182. Didn't get one the other night, but the NBA has certainly been fire. A lot to get to in the NFL schedule release, and obviously there's some other sports news to touch on. And I enjoy trying to cover all sports here on the podcast, so looking forward to doing it today. Right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk. Microphone is always direct. Time to reflect, as always. Appreciate all love and support for the podcast. Anybody following along, listening to the podcast means a lot to me. Even if I got a concussion, hopefully I'll be halfway decent. But as always, follow along on my Instagram or Twitter page. You can check out what I'm doing with the podcast at Seggy Station. Also got a live version up of the podcast where you can check it out. Follow along on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. And still do have the podcast up on Spotify, Podbean, Anchor, a few other platforms. Hopefully you get your podcast there. Gonna have to start with some NBA today. Obviously covered a lot of it on Tuesday with Rich. You could always check out that podcast. As NBA crunch time, clinching time, standings obviously super important, and all these games super meaningful across the NBA here, with obviously the last week really taking a toll on some of the teams that are vying for playoff spots, getting out of the play-in tournament, and it's creating more meaningful games in the NBA. So obviously a clear win for the NBA. Just to clean up real quick, last night with the Celtics loss to the Cavaliers, obviously reeling with the loss of Jaylen Brown as well for the season after suffering an issue with his wrist and having season-ending surgery. A career year for Jaylen Brown, 24.7 points, 6.0 rebounds, 3.4 assists, career high in points, assist, and three-point percentage. Seasoning an injury for him obviously is tough for the Celtics, probably their second-best defender, and looking like the Celtics' season is a wash. Unfortunately, they're probably going to still be in the play-in situation, but I don't see the Celtics coming out of that. Even with Jason Tatum putting up 60 points, talked about it with Rich the other day, super inflated with some of the numbers being done with some of these guys, particularly superstar guys as well. With particularly checking out points being scored across the league this season. It's just a fact, and I think losing a guy like Jaylen Brown is going to be too tough for the Celtics. But with that loss, the Knicks clinch a playoff berth for the first time since 2013. The Knicks are still vying, obviously, for standing position, whether it's the 4 or 5, potentially even 6, I believe. The Knicks are going to make the playoffs, not the play-in tournament. Something I was certainly right about heading into this season. It's Almost crazy to see how much time goes by. We're almost here, middle of May. Sports are really ripping off. Obviously, things are getting a little bit more quote-unquote normal with this COVID and vaccinations basically at almost 34, 35% across the country, and more people obviously feeling less and less scared of the COVID and the actual virus, what it could do to not only the community, themselves, whatever. I've just been seeing, obviously, things opened up a little bit different, and really not going to be able to do anything about that. How that's impacting sports? Well, you still got some guys in the NBA, 10 to 14 day health and safety protocols, and Miles Bridges with the Hornets, a play-in tournament team, the Hawks clinching a playoff berth for the first time since 2017 last night with their win over the Wizards. And I think the Hawks are a legit team as well, a team I had making the playoffs. Unfortunately, it took Lord Pierce's head, head coach prior to Nate McMillan, who did come over this offseason. But in the fourth quarter, now the Hawks, since McMillan took over, plus 99, 47% field goal percent shooting, 40 from three, and second defensive efficiency. Nate McMillan is known as a defensive-minded coach, and clearly the Hawks have found not only their stride on that side of the ball, but Trae Young, diamond assistant, and not really looking for stats, really has the Hawks in a position to be a team that can win a series in the East. And if it's matched up with the Knicks, which I think it is, even though the Knicks are undefeated against the Hawks, I believe this year, 3-0, I do think the Hawks could give them a tough series. That would be, I think, a fun series. Two teams that we haven't seen in the playoffs or good in the NBA in a very long time, now rising, becoming a place where maybe free agents want to go, and that's only good for the NBA. Obviously, I touched on Russell Westbrook the other day with Rich, but I do need to clean up a few things on Russ today because that's 100% my guy. He has the most triple-doubles after the All-Star break, passing Wilt Chamberlain with 24 in 1967-68 with 25. Does Russell Westbrook have this season after the All-Star break? 36 triple-doubles this season. I've mentioned it plenty of times, but he's now going to average a triple-double 4 out of 5 seasons, where there's been only one other player to do so in the NBA history, Big O, nearly 60 years ago. Russell Westbrook 4 times in 5 seasons. Russell Westbrook also, as I mentioned, broke Oscar Robinson's record this past week, 47-year record, an untouchable record, something that many people thought would never be touched, was broken by Russell Westbrook, 182 all-time career triple-doubles and counting. Didn't get one, as I mentioned the other night, but he is going to play meaningful games here, 2 on the way out. Only got to win 1, I believe, to clinch a play-in situation. So obviously he'll play at least a play-in game. I believe he'll be stacking on at least another couple by the end of this season. I do think they represent the East as the 8th seed. Russell Westbrook has 6 straight games with 15-plus assists. The last person to do that was the late John Stockton, who in 1990 was able to do that. Not another single player has done that since. Looking to keep that streak going, I believe the Wizards are back at it tomorrow night. Russell Westbrook, incredible talent, incredible inspiration. A lot of things he's quoted for saying, for breaking some of these unbelievable records about the Big O. The Big O speaking on Russell Westbrook, it's just been absolutely incredible to watch. I see things like, oh, he had 14 points, 23 field goal percentage, 28 from three. Oh, but he plays hard, blah, blah, blah. Well, he had 21 assists and 24 rebounds in that game. And he became literally the second player ever to record a 2020 game. He's done it multiple times in his career, and he's the only player in NBA history to do that. This dude does incredible stuff on a nightly basis. I'm talking about him, where he ranks not only in this league, but all time. 36th heading into this year was extremely disrespectful. 14, 21 career high, 24 career high rebounds and assist game 2 weeks ago. Still putting on, having 25, 8, and 4 last night at the half. They lose the game. He had a couple tough shots at the end, but that's really not his game. He needs Brad Beal there. I talked about that plenty of times. And if Brad Beal's healthy, I think the Wizards are a team that are
definitely scary whether they're seeded 8th, 7th, whatever they can get their hands on. The Pacers are looking to be slated potentially in the play-in. And unfortunately for them, over their 3-game series sweep of them, the Wizards over the Pacers this year, Russell Westbrook's averaging 27.3 points, 20 assists per game, and 18 rebounds a game, 50, 53, and 83 shooting line. Not looking great for the Pacers if they're matched up at all with the Wizards. Highest assist combos in the NBA this season, Draymond Green to Steph Curry 177 times, Chris Paul to DeAndre Ayton 137 times, Russ to Brad Beal 135 times, and Trae Young to John Collins 132 times. Something to keep in mind. All those teams are not only slated in the playoffs or going to make the play-in. Something to be said about sharing the rock. I love Russ. I think the playoff, play-in, all that stuff with the NBA is going to be great. Obviously, a lot of people talking about the Lakers, LeBron James, then now having to not make a return after announcing he's going to make his return. I believe he's obviously just trying to get 100% as possible, even though he says he's not going to ever be 100% in his career again, which I thought was wild for him to say. You got the Warriors. So what are the Lakers going to be is interesting. The Warriors potentially matched up with them in the play-in. Golden State is now beating the current number one and number two seeds in the West on back-to-back nights. That seems pretty dangerous to me. Obviously, the Jazz still waiting to get Donovan Mitchell back healthy, hopefully for their playoff push after being one of the best teams, if not able to cap off one of the best record in the NBA this season. Suns right there close behind. Chris Paul doing his thing. I'm not sure if he's able to get the MVP, but he did record his third career game with at least 20 points, 15 assists, and 0 turnovers. Since individual turnovers first were tracked in 1977-78, Steve Nash is the only player with 3 such games. Chris Paul is doing incredible stuff for the Phoenix Suns at his age. Steph Curry with 58 games to take, taking 58 games to drain 303 pointers, the shortest amount of time it's taken a player to reach that mark in NBA history, is obviously doing great things for his team as well. And you go and look at Chris Paul, Steph Curry, all these guards trying to put them in a certain situation. This all-NBA team, like Rich and I talked about, it's going to be tough to do with what Russell Westbrook is doing, Chris Paul, obviously, guys that I mentioned, and a lot of guys going down with injury. So how is that going to work with all-NBA, and are they going to be stealing guys' spots? I think those are interesting conversations with how the season's really played out, with not only the COVID, but injuries, illness, whether it's COVID or not. I saw Joel Embiid miss a game and potentially miss another one. So there's just a lot to keep up on with the NBA with only a week left to go, and obviously the play-in coming up. Just a few other quick nuggets on the NBA before I switch out of it. Anthony Edwards is the youngest player in NBA history to hit 150 career three-pointers. He's got 155. Ben Ballin from Minnesota. They lost a tough game this past week to Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, who are also looking to make the play-in. Ja had 37, 4, and 10. Talked about him being a top 5 player at the position of point guard for sure in the NBA, and I think that is definitely something that could be argued. Anthony Edwards, 42, 8 made threes and 7 assists in that game in a loss, but he's been balling in the wins. They've been competitive. He's pretty much a national treasure, basically. He talks about how he's going to Spain with Ricky Rubio this summer, and Hunchan Hermen Gomez says he's going to learn how to speak fluent Spanish, so he knows what those guys are talking about all the time. Quoted for saying basically a lot of funny things. He's joins Kevin Durant and LeBron James as the only teenagers in NBA history with a 45-5 game. And obviously, we talked about Anthony Edwards a little bit, Rich and I, leading in to the NBA draft, and I do think he's lived up to some of the hype being the number one overall pick, and I think he's got a lot to improve on just being a one-year player. Obviously, LaMelo Ball's a hit. A few other guys in that class clearly going to be labeled as hits, but I don't think Anthony Edwards will ever be labeled as a bust. Zion obviously went down, which killed the Pelicans. Talked about that a little bit with Rich as well. He was having a historic season, 27 points. He was averaging 7.2 two rebounds on 61.1 field goal percent shooting. That's the best field goal percent points per game ever by any player shooting 60-plus percent in a season. Tough to see him go down. I believe they would have been able to make that push and knock the Spurs off for that 12 or that 10 slot, but even with him going down, they still only a game and a half back, probably too much after a loss again last night. And checking in on the MVP, obviously discussing that with Rich, if Nikola Jokic is officially announced MVP, it would mark the third straight season where we've had an international MVP. It would only be the second time that's happened in NBA history. Steve Nash two times and Dirk Nowitzki in 2005 to 2007. Definitely a global game is the NBA. Obviously a lot of good things coming out of that conversation I just had there. Did want to switch out of the NBA and switch into the NCAA quick. Bit quick basketball story before I touch on some of the other stuff in sports. Potentially take a break as I got some reads. But I did see that the NCAA is talking about five states are opposed to allow college athletes to make endorsement deals starting on July 1. In response, the NCAA will recommend that all college sports governing bodies approve the new rules, quote, before or as close to July 1. Basically, the NCAA is now moving towards extending similar rights to college athletes across the country when it comes to paying them for endorsement deals starting on July 1st. This is something that I've talked about here a few times on my podcast. And I just want to say real quick, because it's stuff like this that I see and I'm like, is this even real? And if this does happen, was I not first to the punch on this? Because no one really talks about this shit, man. And it's the crazy stories that I see not only in sports, but daily life, like coming home today and getting rear-ended. Like what that doesn't really want to happen to anybody, right? Like that's just not a thing, but that type of shit happens. And the type of stuff we see in college sports happens on a regular basis for God knows how long. And these people have never even talked about really once getting paid because it's been this whole thing where it's amateurism. Oh, they don't deserve to get paid and all this stuff. But now all of a sudden they're going to get paid. Something I've been talking about plenty of times. And if this is actually the case, what type of outcry, burst, social media bullshit is that going to spark? Let's just be real here. The NCAA has been getting this wrong, not only with the payment of athletes, but the discrepancies between men's and women's sports, football against all other sports, football and basketball against all other sports. Like, let's just be real here. The NCAA has botched this whole entire thing, not only with football and the BCS and now four playoff teams, but obviously all the stuff that's happened with the college basketball and scandals of payment of players, all the BS with, oh, that doesn't happen at Bama and all these other schools, but it happens at LSU and Arizona with one-year self-imposement bans. It's a crock of shit, man. You're going to go and talk about Bill Self being under this wiretap investigation, but he's able to coach a team that potentially could go to a Final Four or Elite Eight or whatever the fuck it is. It's just bullshit. And you're losing not only athletes to go into the G League where they're able to get paid. Dudes opting out, Amone Bates from Michigan State had a couple hot top 25, top 5 recruits in the G League this season that will be drafted top 5 in the NBA. And ahead of Jalen Suggs, ahead of some of these guys that everyone's talking about being top picks. Because, yeah, Cade Cunningham probably would be the number one overall pick who decided to go to college. But let's just be also real about this. This dude didn't receive any type of payment. Like, it's almost to a point where it's almost not even real to be able to expect that. Like, okay, so now the NCAA is recognizing that this stuff is probably happening. So rather than punish people for it happening, let's just make it a universal thing. But if you're only going to allow it in five states and not make it a universal thing, here's my whole gripe about everything that's like that. How is that allowed? Not only in the NCAA, but aren't you then going to have kids that are going to want to go to colleges in those five states? I mean, I guess you're going to have some kids that are real true and branded to their families, college, where they've always dreamed to go to school that might not be in one of those five states that's paying. So yeah, they might not all go there, but I assume those states will go up in population of college students if it's only them five. Just like a lot of people want to go and live in Jersey, Massachusetts, California, whatever, the places where illegal gambling or gambling and marijuana and all this stuff is legal. It's just bullshit to me.
how you can be across the line of one place in this whole entire country and be able to do different stuff. Now we're going to do that across college athletics and different sports. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the NCAA has continued to botch this. Extension for Mark Emmert. Talking about the disparities this past NCAA tournament in the bubble. I mean, that's just ridiculous, the slap on the wrist they got for that. And then to take it a step further, obviously with the protest, with everything going on for the payment of athletes, to now come out and say, oh yeah, we're going to potentially do this across the country on July 1st. How is that going to impact not only the people that have already made their decisions, but have already now got out of college and were college athletes? Like, how are they going to feel about that? Probably pretty fucking pissed off. At least I would. I mean, I wasn't even a college athlete, but I'd be pretty pissed off. I'd be curious to see what Raj has to say about that. I know he was a college athlete. Duke college athlete. Played soccer. You know, baseball, I believe, too, actually. So, like, what's the deal? Like, I'm curious of what people are going to think about this reaction if the NCAA does make it hard, firm, something going forward. You know, I'm not a big MLB guy, and I went over the bell there a little bit, but I'd be remiss to not at least touch on a little bit of the MLB here. Saw the Mets are on a 7-game win streak. Sure, Chewy's pretty pumped about that. Also saw that there, and I think I mentioned this, but didn't talk about this because I'm kind of waiting for Chew, but we've seen the most no-hitters in the MLB since 1917. Not a lot of balls being hit right now in the MLB. Obviously, we talked about it here a little bit with Chew, them changing the baseball heading into this season, obviously trying to take away some of the pop home run in the baseball after also saying they've never changed the baseball in MLB history up until this year. MLB continues to botch things all the time. It's tough for me to support it. It's tough for me to even watch the highlights of it and listen to Chew talk about it. I love having Chew on to give me some updates on it and see where it's at and check in on his Mets and see some of these other games. I saw Fernando Tatis testing positive for the virus, so not ideal there. Dodgers not really looking like the best team all the time, on a big slump right now. And I saw Max Scherzer joined an elite crew of pitchers, becoming the first or the fifth, I believe, for 14. What do you have? 100 games with 10 plus Ks, joining Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens, and Pedro Martinez. Did Max Scherzer this past week? I saw the Angels released Albert Pujols. Curious what Chew thinks about that, if he's going to pick up. I saw one of the guys, John Means, who threw a no-hitter, lost his dad to cancer last year, and had some very inspirational but also sad quotes after doing a little bit of the pod yesterday, 2 days ago, talking about, you know, Mother's Day and how that's been tough for me, talking about just in general loss, tragedy, dealing with grief. I saw a post from a girl that I work with who's dealing with the loss of her sister. It doesn't matter who you are. It affects everyone differently, obviously. But I feel like some people, it's a lot harder for some people than others to really stay on, you know, the right path, not be upset, sad, depressed, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it's seeing guys like John Means out here saying how his dad was there for him today. He was able to throw that no-hitter because of him. You know, it's stories like that that got to put a smile on your face when you're able to at least understand what that guy's going through. Continuing on with trying to live up to what his dad wanted him to do, which was be great. You know, I try and do that every day. I really do. Podcast means a lot to me, talking sports, the passion that I have for it, my job, everything that I do. I've really grown to appreciate all that just because I know that just time goes by so fast. It's crazy to me. I know that free time isn't endless, so the way people just choose to use that and people that come here on my podcast with me is great. Me wanting to use some of my free time to do my podcast means a lot to me, but I only have so much of it. It's also
just catching up on everything going on in sports when I'm only doing it so much. But it just wraps me all up into everything, really. With seeing some of the stories like John Means and a few of the MLB stories this past week, that good, bad, ugly, it's still a sport that my boy Chu appreciates, and I'll always appreciate him for that. Did need to get into this MLB story here real quick, which is basically, I think, the biggest scam. Houston versus the Yanks returned to the Bronx. You know, I think it's four or five players on the Astros are technically still there from this whole scandal that, obviously, let's just be real here, the MLB didn't get right. They didn't punish any of the players. They didn't punish, really, the organization. It was the coach and the GM who got the midst of this, and they might not have even been the main corporates of this. Doesn't really seem to make sense for me. But with two no-hitters in 3 days, really rocking, obviously, some of the headlines. The other headline, obviously, is the situation with the Astros return to the Yankees. And, obviously, the Astros and them really, Dusty Baker and all this. I mean, dude, what do you expect, dude? Like, it's like my whole thing with this whole Brady thing. Like, dude, like, no one's going to change my opinion on Brady. I don't really care how fucking great he is, how many rings he's got. Dude's a fucking cheater. Like, I don't care if he's not the main corporate of the cheating. Whatever, they fucking cheated. Like, if you're going to try and tell me that those two guys on the Astros deserve to be punished, but the players didn't, and Tom Brady gets a 4-game suspension, but he's not a fucking cheater. Like, I don't know what the deal is. Like, to me, it's just botched by the MLB. The NFL probably should have suspended Brady more. The NFL probably should suspend Bill Belichick for a year when Sean Payton's getting suspended for Bounty Gate. I mean, this is the type of stuff that it just depends on who you are, I guess. Like, we see this all the time. Called KJ and Z and talked about this the other day. Like, it's the type of world we live in, man. America. Like, if you know certain people and you have certain connections, you might have a upper hand on other people, even if they're more qualified than you, even if they're better than you at what you're doing, even if they're a better athlete, better singer, better tattooer, whatever it is, it don't matter. And that's just the sad reality of the world we live in, because it's literally about who you know and the connections you have. And you're not only going to see that in sports, you're going to see that when it comes to looking at the situation with the Yankees and the Astros, which is basically the Yankees, their fan base, anybody that's playing the Astros, now that fans are back in the stands, the first time since they've been in the stands, since this scandal had taken place with the Houston Astros, are going to get exactly what they deserve, which is booze, gripe, anything they get. And yeah, a lot of them aren't there. But the issue with that is, the dudes that are there didn't receive any punishment, and the dudes that aren't there didn't receive any punishment. And to me, that's just not right. It's just a bad look for the MLB, including all these no-hitters, really not a lot of hits, and now home runs going down. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to watch baseball for 9 innings and see no hits. You know, no-hitters are straight and all and cool and historic, and they don't happen too often. But what they're happening this often, to me, it's something's a little fishy. Be curious if Chu ever makes it back. We can get into that. We can also get into, obviously, the Giants facing off against the Broncos in week one after the NFL schedule release. Did see the Mambacity gear, which sold out in a day. And I don't know if that's going to come back at all, but if it does, definitely trying to cop some of that. Saw this whole thing in hockey, which I thought was an interesting story, and I'll probably touch on this before I take my quick break, which was this whole thing with Tom Wilson, New York Rangers forward, who basically drove a guy into the ground, knocked his head in, was basically, should have been suspended, wasn't suspended, was only fined $5,000,
had multiple prior instances, 192 career penalty minutes, 5 suspensions, and basically a mistake by the NHL, which cost them a game the next night with 100 penalty minutes in the first period. 5 all-out brawls after literally the second the puck dropped. Complete penalty box full. And that's the thing, dude. When I think of hockey, all right, yeah, I think of them being able to drop their, you know, stick in their fucking mitts and going and fighting and punching each other in the face. But to me, like, that's not cool. Like, I'm cool with watching playoff hockey. I think hockey in playoff format is straight. You know, I think there's nothing like playoff hockey, to be honest, even though I can't see the damn puck. But, you know, I don't watch it to see dudes fighting like that. It's one thing if it happens once. But seeing that, it, to me, is just not a good look for the sport. It's a bad look on the NHL. And the Rangers having to come out and make a statement after firing their president and head coach the day after, which is just, I believe, a coincidence. But basically making a statement on how disappointed they are with the Capitals and this horrifying act of violence last night, and Wilson, a repeat offender with a long history of these type of acts, stalking, that takes the NHL department, a player's safety, no one really doing anything about it. I mean, the word's reckless. I mean, if you're the NHL and they have to not be the ones to put out this statement, the Rangers do, and the Capitals come out and basically say, oh, we're here for violence, supporting their guy. Like, if this was is what the NHL wants, like basically MMA fights on ice, then okay, then you shouldn't be suspending or fining guys at all for that. But if you're only going to fine a guy $5,000 for basically almost killing a dude, let's just be real, smashing his head into the ice with no helmet on from behind, like, then getting up into the penalty box, sticking out your chest and swearing, like, being all fucking tough guy about it. Like, all right, dude, like, that's, to me, like, assault. I don't care if you play a sport or not. And to not get suspended for that after having all those prior offenses, with playoff hockey coming up, all the hype around that, the buzz around that, it being really great, this really not a great look for the NHL. And I hate to be constantly negative about some of these topics, but you see them, I hear people talking about them and some of these takes on them, and it just, it's not really good. I really don't think it's good. I don't think this whole Medina spirit testing positive bullshit now running at the Preakness and their, his own trainer, Bob Baffert, and everything going on with that, you know, basically saying that he feels like Tom Brady because he's got 7 wins the most as the trainer of the fucking derby stuff and or horses, and he's 5 of them are dirty. Dude's one of the most dirty dudes in the sport. Talked about being a dirty sport. Never mind how it affects the animals, but just the fact that y'all are trying to cheat to win money and rig the system, it's a fucking joke. Like, 5 failed tests in a year for this guy? This trainer is horses, and, you know, he's not getting suspended, like, and he's running his horse in the Preakness this week after just getting suspended and still waiting, could get disqualified for its derby win. You know, it's not the biggest story in the world because it's horse racing, but when this guy Baffert's making statements he's making and acting like a fucking douchebag and entitled asshole, like, dude, like, to me, it's stories like that where it's like, man, can't we just have a little more sympathy for guys that aren't fucking millionaires that are complaining about cheating and giving ignorant statements about not knowing anything about probably everything they knew everything about? It's annoying. Definitely annoying. I'm going to take a quick break, get through some reads, come on back, try and get some through. And some of this NFL schedule release, a few more other topics before we get out of here. Be right back in the Seg Station. Hey, it's
going on, everybody? Welcome back. Sega Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shout out to rescue mat to many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, nothing promotes true home happiness in a household, but a loving companion of a pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a little pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, pound, and nursery. Save their life, and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Hartford men's basketball is moving from D1 to D3 after making its first ever NCAA appearance this past season in the tournament. Funny story here, I know this guy from the course I work at. He's a total fucking douchebag, by the way. He's gotten into plenty of problems at my course, and he used this as an excuse for acting like an asshole a couple weeks ago. Like, I don't feel bad for this man at all. Not a good look for Hartford men's basketball, though. Talked about Zion Williamson being out indefinitely for the Pelicans, sidelined after being diagnosed with a fractured left finger, and Dave Griffin, the GM, sent videos of the league about the punishment he receives in the paint and the referees not calling it. This right here is a load of shit from David Griffin. Talked about the Angels releasing Albert Pujols in the final year of his 10-year, $253 million contract, set to become a free agent for only the second time in his 20-year career, the 2001 Rookie of the Year, Albert Pujols. We'll see how much he's got left to offer. The Jags fire four staff members, 63 years of combined experience for all of them. Urban Meyer bringing in Tim Tebow, talked about that a little bit. I think the Jags are in serious trouble because of Urban Meyer. Knicks agree in principle with Luka, not Doncic, Villadova. A salary cap space and roster spot were available ahead of summer free agency, and they wanted to secure Villadova now. Kendrick Perkins has agreed to a multi-year extension to remain at ESPN per Boston.com. The Bills pick up Josh Allen's fifth-year option. The Falcons pick up Calvin Ridley's. Giants pick up Saquon Barkley were a few of the fifth-year options picked up before the deadline for players drafted in the 2018 draft. Number one recruit Imani Bates has decommitted from Michigan State and is keeping, quote, his options open with regards to going pro or playing college. Luca Garza has launched a NFT group to help athletes capitalize on digital trend and monetize their likeness. Paul Casey wants to, quote, get back to normal and says he's happy the PGA Tour has instituted a policy allowing golfers to forgo testing if fully vaccinated. Dolphins are signing cornerback Jason McCourty. NFL's Thursday night package will now be streaming exclusively on Amazon Prime starting with the 2022 season compared to the 2023 season that it was supposed to begin. The NFL says no team is contractually obligation to any player who gets hurt on their own. The 2022 draft is also now scheduled for April 28th through the 30th in Las Vegas. Finally, Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, will be fighting the undercard of the Floyd Mayweather Jr. Logan Paul fight in June. I think that's going to be must-watch. Catch that out on pay-per-view. Tune back in. Nick Seglin here, Seggy Station Podcast. Looking forward to getting into some more topics here before I get out of here for the day. Appreciate all the love and support for the podcast, as always. Let's see what I got to get through here. Also going to have a 144 WNBA documentary produced by Shanae Agumake, which will premiere tonight on ESPN 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 144 players in the league, the WNBA documentary basically talking about the wobble, everything the WNBA players did, not only for their time in the bubble with their work with the social justice movement and everything that they did to not only have a season in the bubble, but just being such a small league, basically a family type league. It should be, I think, a good watch. WNBA definitely bringing in some audience for sure. Definitely some stuff to touch on with the NFL schedule release. But I did have a couple more things that I needed to catch up on in sports, so I'll do that before I touch on the schedule discussions.
I called in about DK Metcalf running the Olympic track trials to KJZ the other day. Shout those boys out for taking my call. It was quick, but always enjoyable to get through to the boys. You know, they had a great conversation going because basically it's this whole thing with Tebow getting signed because he's basically the son of Urban Meyer. Let's just be real here. Tim Tebow does not deserve a shot to not only play backup quarterback in the NFL, tight end, whatever, linebacker, whatever this dude wants to play, it doesn't make sense to me. I think this is a bad move by Urban Meyer, and I think he's been making a ton of bad moves. Not only the hire he made that he had to backtrack on, a guy that was hired from Iowa with multiple scars on his resume, but now firing four guys that were with the Jaguars for a combined 66 years, bringing in Trevor Lawrence, drafting a first-round running back when you got a stud there in James Robinson, who's young, making another couple questionable draft moves, and now bringing in Tim Tebow, who is expected to potentially make the upcoming roster with five tight ends on your roster. I do think I compared this situation to DK Metcalf because, as Keyshawn said, DK Metcalf may be fast. But does that mean he took a spot potentially from a person who's been training their whole life to potentially have that opportunity to run track and who could have potentially come last in their heat in 15th out of 17th? You know, great stuff. Good ratings. Obviously, us sports fans want to see DK Metcalf doing stuff like that. But I'd still argue he took a spot from somebody that maybe deserved it over him. And the only reason he got that spot is because we all talk about him for his rundown, chase-down tackle this past last year in the NFL season. We see his speed on display. Tyreek Hill faster than DK Metcalf? Is he going to be able to take another spot? Why don't we just have a track NFL thing? See how fast these guys are in track competitions. You know, Tim Tebow bouncing around, MLB, now I'm back to the NFL. Let's just be real. He wasn't great in the NFL. He's got a worse passing percentage than Ryan Leaf. Do we all know who Ryan Leaf is? I mean, this man is praised because of his being out there on hope in God, and that's all cool and all, but it doesn't get you opportunities that the average person doesn't get. And this man's already doing platforms on TV. Probably got good money, nice wife. Like, now you're going to just walk back into an NFL locker room because you're connected to Urban Meyer. And as much as I think it's cool to see DK Metcalf doing this stuff, shout out to Shakiri Richardson, by the way. She is an absolute track star. I believe that there's a person that could have been in there, that has been training, that has wanted that opportunity their whole life. DK Metcalf should stick to football in the sports that people are doing. They should stick to that sport. Tim Tebow, just being able to skip around to sports. And yeah, I had this same energy when he was taking a spot away from an MLB roster spot as well. But now just to go back to the NFL and just make up his mind, oh, well, this is what I want to do. It's privilege beyond belief, and it's absolute fucking bullshit, in my opinion. There's some other stuff to get into in the NFL for sure. I'm going to do that here in a second just after I touch on the Super League in golf. Because I saw this story on the Super League in golf after the Super League in soccer was up and down, burning in flames in about 48 hours. This whole Super League of golf thing, not sure if it's going to succeed or fall, flame out. Not as many guys interested in it. When you got Phil basically coming out and saying he doesn't bash the idea of the Premier Golf League, but others like Justin Thomas and Rory and all these others aren't fans. No surprise for me for Phil to be saying this. You know, this is just one of these things where I think you're trying to create more ratings around golf by giving them more money. To me, that's a turnoff. Like, these dudes already make enough money, paying these guys $30 million to play in a golf event on national TV with GoPros and shit. It's not that cool. Like, even them doing the matches up against Charles Barkley and Steph Curry and Peyton Manning, those dudes suck. Like, it'd be one thing if they were a little better. It'd be one thing if they weren't snapping duck hooks and cut draws on a round.
Like, it'd be more fun if they're taking on normal guys like me and my buddy in a two-person scramble. I think we could hit better shots. Like, why are we taking on just because this dude's a professional athlete and then turn it into a match? But now, no, that's not good enough. Let's take all tour pros, make it a small premier golf league, and pay them a ton of money. To me, that's not going to work. To me, like, even though you're going to pay them that much money, some of these guys are just going to be like, dude, like, that's not what fans are going to enjoy. And I'm not really a fan of golf. I'm not watching it every week. I'm a golf professional, and I love the golf business. But I'm watching tournaments like the Masters, the Majors, and a few of all the other things when it's on in the golf shop. But no, I'm not cringing to get the golf on the TV. I check up to see who's winning each week. I check in on the leaderboard throughout the weekend. But no, I'm not watching this shit nonstop. And I definitely be turned off with them putting on this Premier League. Because A, I would probably check it out to see what it's about and hate it immediately. B, I think about the fact that that's what you're drawing dudes away from the PGA Tour with. Literally offering them $30 million to play on live TV. With, like, it doesn't make sense, man. More people are struggling out there than this. Like, the PGA always strives on trying to help people and be this, you know, integrity type place, brand, and then you're out here doing stuff like this. And I know the PGA has nothing to do with the PGA Tour, but it's similar, in my opinion, where the PGA Tour is connected at least enough where this has to get out to at least some people's eyes that either like watching golf or don't like watching golf. And I'm sure they have a reaction about it. Similarly to how the soccer league went down. I know we're not Europe, but I don't know. Maybe nobody in America will care and it'll just go on and we'll see if it's straight. Let me get a little Tom Brady smoke in here. I saw Tom Brady would trade two rings for a perfect season in 07 up against my Giants. I talked about the shooting bastard here a little bit earlier. I talked about him at work as well. Yeah, I bet he would trade two rings for that perfect season. A lot of people talking about Bucks going 17-0 this year. That ain't happening. They ain't repeating either, by the way. They've got all their players back, this and that. I don't want to hear any of that. It's hard enough to repeat, not only make it to the repeat, but also get a repeat done. Keep in mind, Patriots did it. I can't remember the year. But it's not easy, and I think the Bucks are going to be on a little bit more of a Super Bowl hangover than people are going to give them credit for. Tom Brady, I think, is just a hit away from getting knocked out of this league, to be honest. Like, he doesn't get hit at all. You know, this dude acting like he's 25 years old when he's 43 or whatever the fuck he is. Like, you're not going to be able to play forever, man, and you're not looking good anyways. You got carried by D and running and all this incredible stuff anyways. That probably isn't going to happen again. You got a lot of great teams in the NFL. But what gets me mad is he makes comments like this. He makes comments like that. You got Bucks Patriots at Foxborough, October 3rd, 8:30 p.m. Sunday Night Football slated after the schedule release this year. NFL does a great job setting this stuff off, by the way. Only having now, 17 games, extra games, so. But not like the NBA with 72-82, not like the MLB with 195 or whatever the fuck they play, 162. You know, it's just crazy. The NFL does it right. The Bucks playing the Patriots obviously is going to be much must-see TV. Tom Brady is going to have a good amount of primetime games this year, in which he struggled last year in the regular season as well. I think Tom Brady is getting to a point where, and I said it the other day with LeBron James, like, if LeBron James is going to come out and say he's never going to be 100% again in his career, I'm just wondering what Tom Brady's thinking about where he's at and how he feels about even that run he just had. Like, yeah, dude, you know, defense, running, Rodgers doing dumb shit in LaFleur, and obviously the Rodgers saga continues. It'll be interesting to see how things go for me with not only the Bucks tipping off the season at Tampa Bay versus the Dallas Cowboys on September 8th, I believe. 8:20 p.m. NBC. You know, it's crazy the percentages of teams to not make the playoffs after going 0-1 in the NFL, and you got a couple real tough matchups right off the bat. Chiefs, Browns, Giants, Broncos, what's good, Chew? Dolphins, Patriots. Jets, Panthers, which is unreal for the NFL to do that first week. Steelers, Bills, a lot of good matchups. Week one, Monday night, Baltimore at the Raiders. So a lot of good things coming out of the NFL schedule release. I heard this on one of my shows today, and I just needed to talk about this real quick. Because I think it's funny. People give me shit because I like to listen to sports talk. And then I hear or the other guys in the shop wanting to watch dudes talking about stocks on TV. And you can watch the news, whatever. Like, it's the same thing to me. It's people talking about something. I just like watching or listening to people talk about sports. Like, is that so weird? I don't think so. I heard Colin Coward say this, and I just hate this dude's bias on towards the NFL. I think the NFL is the biggest brand. I think NFL does draw the most ratings, clearly. It's, like, a fact, and the most fan base. I mean, girls like watching it. Like, let's just be real. The NFL is definitely the biggest thing in America when it comes to sports. But basically saying that they do everything right and that they get everything right and do address all their issues and problems quicker than all the other leagues and more than all the other leagues, I think is just a ridiculous statement, Colin. You know, maybe with the MLB. I think the MLB is atrocious with that. More than the NBA, I would say no. You know, if we're talking about the NCAA, then yes, absolutely. But if you want to look at the PGA Tour now, even trying to do this stuff, even though I don't agree with it, PGA Tour has always been solid. Even when you look at some of these other sports that we see, hockey having to switch up new conferences, hockey playoffs, obviously always big draws. Like, people are going to be drawn to what they want to watch no matter what. Obviously, the NFL is the biggest thing. And this is my whole thing with the NFL not getting everything right, because they don't. Let's just be real here. Talking about going all the way back to when I first started, they made a huge error and a vast mistake with Colin Kaepernick. Let's just be real. The NFL doesn't address issues the way they should, Colin. NFL replay, right? Some of these other things that they got going on with some of these rule changes on a consistent basis. The NFL doesn't address these issues the right way. Let's just be real. Like, they're either lacking getting to the point quick enough. They're either making mistakes. They're allowing people to play that shouldn't be playing. You're not suspending guys for longer periods of time, less periods. It's this whole thing with the policy and all that. There's a lot of stuff that could be talked about with the NFL messing up plenty of times. And this NFL schedule release, to me, not a coincidence. Just dropping in on the last week of the NBA season, right before the NHL playoffs, MLB really picking up, you know, PGA Tour full swing, got the major PGA Championship coming up in a week or two. Like, it's all strategic for the NFL to be on top, and they remain on top, but don't forget about some of their major, major blunders over the years. The Aaron Rodgers saga continues to me. I saw the Packers have 5 primetime games, so apparently they think that Aaron Rodgers is going to play for the Packers. I don't think that's going to be the case. Rodgers is being such a bitch. He tells the Packers he's not going to return to the team. Reportedly mocked the GM, Brian Gutekunst, basically in group chats by calling him Jerry Krause. We all know and watched The Last Dance and know who Jerry Krause is. Packers are upset. Basically that other teams may have contacted Rodgers to gauge his interest in them. The Packers also discussed drafting potentially another quarterback during the 2021 draft. Rodgers warned free agent teammates that he, quote, wouldn't be returning to Green Bay And to me, the best response to all this is Terry Bradshaw. I freaking love Terry Bradshaw, man. Four-time winner, Super Bowl winner. Basically calling Aaron Rodgers weak. Talking about he's got the worst footwork of a QB all time. Probably should just retire and go do Jeopardy. You know, Rodgers to me is just, I've never been a fan of Rodgers. I think Rodgers is the most overrated player, potentially in history. Like, this dude is talked about as an all-time guy, and he's got a 7-8-1 playoff record in his last 14 or 15 games, whatever it is. We all saw what he did this past year, which was basically botch the game, blow the game. He's done it before plenty of times. And to have one Super Bowl being what he's talked about as being, and then causing a gripe like he's got the grass is greener on another side with back-to-back NFC championship appearances, you know, a lot of that's on your head too, buddy. And I just think if you're going to have five primetime games set for the Packers, is Jordan Love going to be the guy that could take over if Rodgers doesn't show up? If Rodgers holds out and says he's done playing, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see where Rodgers end up if he did move. If I'm the Packers, I don't do nothing. Let him hold out. Let him sit out. There's obviously we're still waiting to hear about Deshaun Watson. Broncos picked up Bridgewater, I saw right before the draft. And obviously you had five first-round QBs, eight QBs drafted in the first three rounds, which was the most all-time in NFL history. So you got a lot of QBs to talk about here. I got a lot of catching up to do on the NFL draft and all that. But I'm running out of smoke here, to be honest. And I'll basically have to come in and talk on that with the boys for sure. A lot to talk about with those quarterbacks, how they're going to be doing, who's going to be starting, how long it's going to be taking for these guys to get in. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about for sure. Impact players, obviously the schedule coming out helps, and there's constantly stuff going on in sports. That's for damn sure. Obviously, the NFL schedule release creates a lot of buzz and conversation. Last week of the NBA, as I talked about, clinching time in the NBA and obviously seeding and playing tournament right around the corner, which is fire. And as I mentioned, plenty of other things going on in sports, plenty of other topics, and then obviously things still going on in life. Like I saw, nearly two-thirds of gas stations are sold out in one state, North Carolina. I've been hearing a lot about that. Gas potentially selling out this summer, which I'm like, what? Yeah, because apparently everyone's now back out driving and doing more shit, using gas, whatever. Shortage of, I don't know how you can have a shortage, I guess, but you're going to have it at some point. I'm just curious to see how things go throughout the rest of my time, which is, I don't know how long that's going to be, right? Everybody's time is different. It's crazy to see how fast things go, not only with the sports, just with life, everyday, daily things, you know, just crazy to me. Can't believe it's already going to be June here in a couple weeks. Like, just to think about that halfway through this year, you know, it's wild. And, you know, I used to try and set certain standards for not only myself, my podcast, you know, oh, you can't be by yourself. Oh, you need to have a better this. You need to do that. You know, for me now, I've been realizing that it's, that's all trying to force shit. You know, you can't force anything really. It's just gotta really either happens or it doesn't. Sometimes a lot of bad things happen. Like, shit, I got rear-ended on the way home. I don't think it was the guy's fault. Let's just be real. He was a nice guy and all. And the damage, I thought it was going to be real bad. And I was, like, literally livid. And I don't even know. But I got out. And somehow his shit was way more fucked up than mine. Mine was, it looked like, I think I know something's there, so I could tell. But like, if y'all came over and checked out the back of my car, like, you might not even notice. I mean, you probably would, but at the same time, it's not horrible. So I'm like, dude, honestly, bro, like, I don't have time for this shit. Like, I'm just trying to get home. I honestly wanted a podcast. I want to see my dog. Like, that's just what I'm thinking. Obviously, I'm not telling this guy this shit because obviously he doesn't give a fuck. But, nah, he was super nice about it. He was asking me, oh, how much do you think this costs? Blah, blah, blah. I'll give you my number, your name, whatever. I'm like, dude, like, I'm not getting this shit fixed. Like, if my shit was fucked up, then yeah, obviously, I got insurance. But, like, I mean, I'm not fixing your shit. So, like, I don't know what to tell you. He's like, oh, it's my sister's car. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm not even, I'm like, whatever, bro. Like, I'm just glad you're cool. I'm straight. I'm like, thankfully my car is good because, like, I would have cried. Like, the only thing that matters to me is my car, really. My podcast, my car, my dog. Like, there's only certain things that really even matter to me. I literally thought my car was absolutely fucked. Like, totaled in the back. Because I was at a dead stop. This dude hit me probably, like, 30 miles per hour. I'm pretty sure my head smacked the steering wheel. And I'm just like, oh, wow. I'm really like, fuck, I got to be at work tomorrow. And I just, my car's totaled. In the back, like, oh, I don't, whatever, Subarus, I guess, are legit, because I know I got fucking whaled. Lucky as hell, I guess, I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know, I made it home to talk some sports, caught up at least a little bit. Hopefully I can catch up with some boys soon. You know, there's been a lot of waiting to get another tattoo. My stuff's filling out, which is nice. I figured out that, and I already knew this about myself, but like, I would much rather be alone and not talk to anybody than talk to somebody just to say I'm talking to somebody, because, you know, I've been figuring out with this trying to meet people shit that it's not really what I'm about. If it's bound to happen, it'll happen. If not, stop trying to force it. Like I said, not only with anything that I'm doing, but just that in general, too. I've been really connecting a lot of dots here. You know, I'm glad at least I got to catch up on sports a little bit. Because I don't know if... I guess I'll try and be back Monday if anyone's around. Try and catch up with the boys. Otherwise, not sure when I'll be back, and I'll just be enjoying the sports. Trying to still... not get sick, obviously. Because I yet to have the vaccine. I don't know if I'm going to get it soon or not, but I've been thinking about it. Probably not. I'm still wearing my mask everywhere I go. Still wash my hands probably 50 times a day. I don't know. My hands are starting to get fucked up and dry again, which is pissing me off. Yeah. You know, I know people probably would be like, oh, that's a selfish thing, bro. It's like, dude, I follow all the rules. I don't do shit. Like, I don't think I'm the dude spreading COVID, bro. And realistically, like, if I had to actually do it to, like, go to a job or to a sports game, like, all right, man, like, if that's actually a thing. But, like, if that's not, like, bro, I'm good. Staying safe, not doing anything really besides working, watching my sports, taking care of my dog. You know, I did meet this person, but it's not cool, so I don't think I'm going to be flaming on that much longer. You know, I'm waiting for some of the boys to come back. Sports are really flaming for me right now. I just can't wait for football now, obviously. Giants got me hyped up for sure. Russ got me hyped up for sure. Pump for this play-in, pump for the NBA playoffs. I'm sure those baseball heads are happy with what's going on with baseball. NHL playoffs. Plenty of sports stories going on. And the time just keeps on zipping by, man. So enjoy it. Enjoy it while you got it. Enjoy everything about it. Enjoy the sports. Enjoy the little things. Enjoy the people that you have supporting you. Because it's not many. At least not for me. And I think for most people, too. Like, just talking to that random dude today. Like, I genuinely just didn't even want to ruin his day. Because I could tell he felt bad. He's like, oh, you got a really nice car. I was like, yeah, dude, it's fine. Like, it's all good. I thought you literally totaled my shit. And, I just like to feel like if that happened to me and I basically scratched and put a little dent in somebody's car, like, they're not gonna ruin my day by fucking making me sit there for 2-3 hours. Cops come, calling the insurance. It's like, bro, I personally don't even have time to do that shit just to make my shit look brand new when my shit's getting hit by rocks and I'm fucking hitting potholes and shit because the roads in Connecticut suck. Like, bro, I bought the car with 35,000 miles. It's got 80,000 miles on it right now. Never had an issue with it once. Like, great car. Gonna drive it until it literally dies. Like, kill us till I can't drive it anymore. So I don't think, like, that for me. Like, I'm not trying to sell that shit. Like, yeah, it would be nice to have it look brand new for the entire time I have it. But I don't think that's reality, man. I've just been trying to stick with, like, reality. Like, not trying to get too far off the beaten path with, like, yeah, dude, this is just what it is. Just deal with it. It's tough. Tough a lot of times, man. Makes me real sad. Not only with some of my sports takes, but just general life things. And, you know, I just keeping it 100, as always. Appreciate all the love and support. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening, as always. And as always, still no shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody. Peace and love. Stay safe out there. Enjoy them sports. You're listening to Seggy Station.